The Gemara Chafim et al. Presents a machlekes atanoim regarding the makom hashchina, whether we should assume that the shchina b'chol makom or the shchina is b'mayra. What is the difference halacha l'maaseh? So the Gemara implies the difference is which direction is one supposed to face when he davens Shmoneh Esrei. When he davens, he's supposed to be facing the talking to the shchina, medaber l'shchina. So if you hold that shchina b'mayra, so you should face mayra. If you hold shchina b'chol makom, you can face any direction you want. The Gemara, in fact, has one opinion that Shechidim B'chom Bakim, you can face any direction you want, except for Mizrach. The Rav Sheshes was a Sagi Nohar, Rashi writes, Rav Sheshes Ma'orei Naim Hava, he was blind. So he told his Gabbai, he always used to have someone to help him out, so he told his Gabbai that when it's time to Davish Manasri, you can set me up to face any direction, except for Mizrach. The Davka does not want to daven facing Mizrach, because the Minim used to pray facing Mizrach. But if there's not Kfeda, then basically it can face any direction. So it says that we follow the last opinion in the Gemara, that those who live in Babel should face Eretz Yisrael, because that's based on the Brisa and Brachos Naflamed, where the Brisa quotes the Pesukim in Tfilah Shlomo, that he says, Vizpalo Elecha Derech Artsam, Vizpalo Elecha Derech Ir Azaz, Vizpalo Elecha Derech Habayis Azaz, that the Beis HaMikdush is not only the Mokom HaKrobos HaKorbonos, but it's the Mokum Tfila as well. Kibesi Tfila Yikar Lachol Han. That's why the Pasuk says in Echam that that after Gam Kezak Vashaveh Sasam Tfilasi, even when we pray after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, our prayers are not answered, because the Beis HaMikdash is the Mokum HaTfila. So if the Beis HaMikdash is not there, so the official office for receiving the Tfilas is closed. There's no Beis Tfila. So that's how we pass on that not that Shechina b'Mizrach, no, it all depends which part of the globe one lives in. Everyone should face Eretz Yisrael, and those in Eretz Yisrael should face Yerushalayim and so on. The Gemara Nomad base adds on another concern, another consideration. Harotzu Sheyachim Yadrim, Harotzu Sheyashir Yatzin, and the Gemara says, "I," but he wants to face Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says it should be mitzadeh adudim. So that's also quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Yesterday we were reviewing the Gemara about the Gemara just mentioned a little bit the din of hatmana. So we spoke about the two dinim of hatmana. There's one isur hatmana on erev Shabbos that it's only usher to be matven in the davar hamoysif hevel. And Hatmana on Shabbos is even forbidden in a Dovar Hamamid Hevel, even if it's not Maisid Hevel. So we mentioned the din in the Gemara Masechah Shabbos, that once the food was taken out of the Klirishan in which it was cooked and put into a Klisheni, so then the Gemara says that there's no prohibition of Hatmana, there's no Isa Hatmana. So someone asked yesterday, what if it's on Shabbos and the food is not in a Klisheni, are you permitted to put it into a Dovar Hamaisid Hevel? So I thought it was mutter. So one of the boys showed me on the Shulchan Aruch, said the favorite that it's us. If it's a Dover HaMois in Hevel, then you're not allowed. It's only a Dover HaMam in Hevel. A difference. Okay? Beginning of Parshas B'Shalach, thus it says that Paro was chasing after Bnei Yisrael. The children in school always say as a joke, it's not a tartar. They say as a joke, it says, Vikach Sheish, Neyos Rechav Bachur, Bechol Rechav Mitzrayim, Shalishim Al Kolol, that if you subtract six, Vikach Sheish, Neyos Rechav, from the letters of Reish Kav Beis, this will equal Bachur. Arithmetic. It's not a tartar. Stam, Leitonis. Rashi and Sukkah comments, however, counting words, numbers. Rashi comments on the pasuk. The Mishnah Maseches Sukkah says that when they used to go around the hakafas around the mizbeach once a day every day of Sukkot, and then on the Shana Rabbah they would go around seven times. So when they would be leaving, they would say, Ani behu hoshi ano. So what exactly does that mean, Ani behu hoshi ano? So Rashi on the Gemara has two interpretations. One pshat is, Ani behu HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Imo Anecha Vitzara. So the Holy One, blessed be He, the one who says that He is with us, Ani behu, the one who's always with us in all of our tzaras, hoshi ano. It's another way of describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one pshat. And Rashi has another pshat, that Ani behu is not spelled behu, vav hei vav aleph, but rather vav hei vav. What in the world is vav hei vav? There is no such word. So Rashi says, and what does the word ani mean? It doesn't mean the andehu, ani behu. It doesn't mean ani, me, behu, and he, and him. But rather, ani behu are two of the 72 shemes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because in Perek Yudalit, Pasuk Yutes, Pasuk Chof, and Pasuk Chof Aleph, you have three psukim in a row. Each pasuk has 72 letters. So he, Rashi must be quoted from some source. I don't imagine that he invented it. Rashi says, we take the first letter of the first pasuk, the last letter of the second pasuk, and the first letter of the third pasuk, that's one of the shemes of Hashem. That's behu. Vayisa is a vav, and the last letter in the second pasuk is halayla, that's a hey. The first letter of the third pasuk is vayet Moshe siyado, so that's vav hey vav. And then if you take the second letter of the first pasuk, next to the last letter of the second pasuk, and the second letter of the third pasuk, the yud, there's going to be another Shem. So this will add up to 72 names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each name consisting of three letters. So Ani is one of those 72 names, and Bahu is the first of the 72 names. It must be in some Kabbalah source. You have three psukim in Perek Yudalit, psukim Yutes and Chof and Chotala, three psukim in a row. Each pasuk has 72 letters. The Rashi must be quoting from some source. I don't imagine that he was such a genius to invent this on his own. Rashi maybe he's a bigger genius, but I don't think it's an invention. So Rashi says that if you take the first letter of the first pasuk, the last letter of the second pasuk, the first letter of the third pasuk, that constitutes one shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're not from the Zayin Shemes Shemes Mechokim. These are Shemes Hanim Chokim. There are seven Shemes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Gemara in Shavuot, that the Yeridin lists off are official Shemes that Reinim Mechokim, and these are Shemes Hanim Chokim. Then Rashi says, take the second letter of the first Pasuk, next to the left letter of the second Pasuk. The second letter of the third Pasuk, there's another Shem. Take the third letter of the first Pasuk, the third letter from the end of the second Pasuk, third letter of the third Pasuk, that's another Shem. So Ani is going to be one of these. And Vahu, Vav Hei Vav, is the first of these 72 names. That's what Rashi points out. In Hilchas Yom HaKippurim, the Mechaber quotes it in from the Mechilta on this pasuk at the end of Yishalach, when the Torah describes the Melchemes Amolek. So it says that Moshe Rabbeinu Vayiyu Adav Emuna Ad Bo Hashamash, he was Emuna B'Tfilah, his hands were praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Pi Siskapai, and it says that he was davening for a long time, so his hands got tired. That says, Ar Mechur Tom Chuvi Yadav Mizeh Echod Mizeh Echod. So the Pasha Pshat was because he wanted to hold his hands up and he needed someone to support him. So he had people to hold his hands up. That's a simple reading. So the Mechilta quoted by the Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Yom HaKippurim says that in addition to that simple reading of the Pasuk is conveying to us another din that on a tiny Tzibur, it's not sufficient just to have one chazan, one Shleich HaTzibur. We should have Shloisha. We should have three people serving as the Shluchei HaTzibur, because you need it's an Eis Tzara. So you have to be Marbe B'Tfilah, you have to daven more. So that's why with Moshe, Aaron, Bechur, with davening all together, is if you would have three Shluchei HaTzibur, and that's why on Yom Kippurim, which is also a tiny Tzibur, we should have three people, we should have two people standing on either side of the Chazan. The Magen Avraham comments that we don't practice that Bezman HaZeh. He says we only have three people for the Haftaras and Dorm for the Kol Nidre. The two gears is what they call Nidre as a Haftaras and Dorm, and the Dorm that we have taken over the past year or the course of the past year. Or they call Nidre as the mysterious Midor, that the Nidorm that we plan to take in the course of the following year should not be binding on us. So the Magen Avraham says that the meaning is that we have three people, two on either side of the Shliach Tzibur. But the Kol Nidre, because most communities they say the Lashon Kol Nidre L'Shavar. Some say L'Shavar and L'Habo. So since it's a Haftaras and Dorm, so you need a Bez no Shloishon. And then the rest of the davening, Ma'ariv, you daven on a regular day also. Shacharis, Musaf, Mincha, there's nothing unique about that. But Ni'ilah, that's a Tfilos HaTainis, so that you should really have the two people standing next to the Chazan. So the Magen Avraham says, well, we do have it. We have everybody standing next to the chazan, because the meaning is that we leave the Aron Kodesh open the whole nila, and everybody stands usually when the Aron Kodesh is open. So you always have a lot of people standing next to the chazan. That's not always the case. Sometimes you're going to have the chazan is all the way up in the front, and he was in the back, so everybody's standing, but not sitting next to the chazan. So the Magen Avraham says that you should be medactic about that. Soloveitchik used to be makpid that even by Mayriv and by Shacharis and by Musaf and by Mincha, which are regular davening that you daven on every Shabbos and Yom Tov, nothing special about Yom Kippur, but still, since it is a time of Sibur, so he used to be makpid that you should follow that din in the Shulchan Aruch. You should always have two people, b'miyuchad, standing next to the Shliach Sibur. I saw quoted in the name of Rabbi Avraham Soloveitchik a comment on this pasuk that it says that the three were standing together, Aron b'chur tamchu b'yadav, like the Magen Avraham says, that it was at the time that he was davening the Tfilas HaTainis. The Magen Avraham says you only have to have Shloisha when you daven Ne'ilo. Ne'ilo is a special Tfilas HaTainis. Ne'ilo is not special for Yom Kippur. Ne'ilo is special on Yom Kippur because Yom Kippur is a Yom HaTainis. The Mishnah says in Tainis that you have to daven Ne'ilo on every Tainis Sibur, not just on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur happens to be a Tainis Sibur by us. The others are not considered Tainis Sibur. Tisha B'Av, that's the question. The Gemara says, ain't Tainis Sibur B'Avol chutz miYom Kippur v'Tisha B'Av Bavan. But the others are Sura B'Teva Shavuos, but Tamas don't have the full status of a Tainis Sibur. We lay by Tal, and that sense it is a Tainis Sibur. The Chazan says Aneinu and the Chazaras Hashatz, and that sense it is. But with respect to all other purposes, we don't really treat it like a Tainis Sibur, so that's why we don't daven the Ilah. The question is, why don't we daven the Ilah on Tisha B'Av? So that is a whole discussion, why not? But Akopanim, according to the Pashtus and the Magen Avraham, you only need the two people davening with the Shleach Tzibur on a Tainis Sibur when he's davening at Tfilas HaTainis. So they quote the name Rav Elvela that the Pasuk says, Vayu Yadav Emunah, and Rashi says he was holding his hands up, Prusas HaShemayim, B'Tfilah, Ne'amono, he was holding his hands up in prayer, and the other two were with him, and he was davening with Tfilas HaTainis, which is parallel to our Tfilas Nila. That's why it says that Bo HaShomesh, that he was davening late in the afternoon, because Nila is supposed to be prayed, he's supposed to be Mispala Nila, Shachama Barosha Ilonas. The Shulchan Aruch quote, there's a machlokes in the Gemara, are you supposed to finish Nila Mabod Yom? Or is it enough if you start Nila, even if you finish it Balaila? Or should it be Dafkibi Balaila? A discussion. Can you begin Balaila at all? But you're not supposed to dab Nila in the early afternoon. That's for sure not. It's supposed to be Kishachama Barosha Ilonas. So that's why they quote on Avelvela. That's why the pasuk says, Vayu Arav Amuna, Adboy HaShomesh, that he was the Iker's man of the Tfilas HaTainis is late in the afternoon. The Gemara in fact says that on a Iker Adin, the Kohanim should really duchen during Chazaras HaShatz every day by Shachris. And by Minchanat, because B'choshesh L'Shikrus, because the Kohen Shoshosa Revius is not permitted to duchen, like a Kohen who Shosa Yain is not permitted to dwell with the Sakarbonis. And the Gemara learns that it's a relationship between the two. The duchening has a partial din, like avoida. With respect to this prat, that Shasa Revis is not permitted to duchen. So the Gemara says, what about on a Tainis Tzibur? What about, the Gemara says, what about on a Tainis Tzibur? Do you duchen to Mincha or not? So the Gemara talks about the possibility of making a Xeri. On a Tainis Tzibur, no one's drinking anything. So it's not shy to be concerned about the fact that the Kohen was Shasa Revis. So the Gemara discusses then the end of Tainis, should you make different opinions among the Tanaim? Should you make a Gzeire not to allow Duchening on the Tainis Sibur by Mincha or to every other day when the Kohanim do eat and drink? So they may be in a state of Shasa Revis. Or do you not make such a Gzeire? Machlekes HaTanaim. So the Gemara in that Sugya mentions that the Iker's man of davening Mincha on the Tainis Sibur is really late in the afternoon. Even if all year long one would daven mincha earlier, but on Tainis Sibur the more correct practice is to daven later in the day. If the Gemara is implying that the Iker's man for Tfilas HaTainis is late in the afternoon, that's what Rav Elvela commented based on this passage. That's what it says in the Gemara. Rav Soloveitchik once mentioned in the middle of, he once gave a Yotzei Drush on this, I think. So he said that the practice in many yeshivas, many by Baal Batim also is that all year long they daven mincha late, right before the Shkia, and on Tainis Sibur they daven mincha early. We understand that mincha early because people want to take a nap, but people want to eat. Some of the old people want to eat, so they want to daven before they eat. But he said it's really against the Gemara, because the Pashtus in the Gemara is that on the Tainis Sibur there's a special kpeda that one should daven mincha later, because the Iker's man of the Tfilas HaTainis is later in the afternoon.
The reason why year. I mean, we should make a new gzeira today. We shouldn't allow the Kohanim to do Chana Musaf on Rosh Hashanah.
No, we should allow
the kids to go on the spot. Okay. Okay. Either one or the other. Or at least the Kohanim should not drink. If the Kohanim want to be yaitzeh with someone else's kiddush, at least they shouldn't drink. But the others drink. There's a problem of davening Shmoneh Esrei also when the person had a drink. The more correct practice is in Taki, you shouldn't have kiddush before. Should daven a little faster. You're not mechuyav to daven until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You start a little earlier. You don't start at 9 o'clock. You start a little earlier. And daven a little faster. The Ramah writes a compromise. The tune is close, but he says Sim Shalom Shalom Rav. So the Ramah writes that the minig is that whenever you have a zman for duchening, or whenever you lay kriyas haTorah, so then you say Sim Shalom. So by Shabbos in the afternoon, the Ramah writes that you say Sim Shalom, because in Sim Shalom you say Kibir Panachem Satalon Teres Chayim Yalas. So whenever you lay kriyas haTorah, so you say Sim Shalom. So Tanis Sibur also you lay Minch. But he gives that as one reason, but then the other reason also is that that Imala lo yered, if the coin went up to Duchen, then you wouldn't ask him to step down. But he ever, since Nikra did not attain this, there's no chashash. The only thing is that we don't allow the coin to Duchen, but Pael Mamish, Exera Otto Mincha, all year long. But so, but he ever, if the coin already went up, he wouldn't tell him that he should not Duchen. So therefore, that's enough to allow us to say some Shalom. It's not such a strict rule. The Ramah is just making a compromise between Sim Shalom and Shalom Ram. So for the purpose of the compromise, that's a sufficient reason. There is an interesting comment in the things in the Alkut Shemayna on the pasuk. So zasi kam basayfim zim biozni Yeshua k'mocha emka zecha molek mitachas hashamayim, that at this time Moshe Rabbeinu was told to appoint Yeshua as the king. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't die yet. Moshe Rabbeinu had the din of Melech. The Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of the Melech. Morris says in the first parak in Sanhedrin, when you build a Beis HaMikdosh, when you want to add on area to be Mekadosh, it's B'Kedushas HaRabayis, or B'Kedushas HaZara, or B'Kedushas Yerushalayim, so it says, V'chein Tasu L'Doros, in Parashas Truma, you have to do the Kiddush HaZara. L'Doros, the same way it was done in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, when they were Mekadosh the Mishkan. So in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they had a Melech, and they had Urim Metuvim, and they had a Novi, had a kengodel and so on. So to the Doris you have to have everything. So the Gemara says, where they have Melech? So the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu is that Melech. Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of a Melech. So Moshe Rabbeinu was a Melech, and after he died, then Yeshua ben Nun had the status of a Melech. How do you know Yeshua ben Nun had been a Melech? The Rambam writes like that. The Rambam, in the very beginning of Hilchos Melochim, writes, he's calling like a sept in Sanhedrin. That when you appoint, if people make a mistake to think that Shaul HaMelech was the first Melech. Shaul HaMelech was the first Melech in a certain sense, but Moshe Rabbeinu had a din Melech, al pi halacha. Yeshua ben Nun had a din of Melech. But the Rambam writes, Eim Haman HaMelech al pi desna shal shivu yecha ki Yeshua sheminehu Moshe ubein dino. The Rambam writes that Yeshua ben Nun was appointed by Moshe and his Bezdin as the Melech on Yisrael. So you see Yeshua had the status of a Melech. That's what the Medrash comments on the Pasuk also. And say for Yeshua, when the Malach saw him, and he said, "Lo yomush seifah terezeh mipichu magis v'yam v'loilo." So the Medrash says on seifah terezeh that this is referring to the Mishnah Torah. Which Mishnah Torah is it referring to? So the Mefarshim on the Medrash, our Salvation used to say this over the Mefarshim on the Medrash. Explained Mishnah Torah Zos refers to the Chovis HaMelech. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin in the second Perek that the obligation of Kisvah L'Chemes HaShira Zos is Mechayev every Jewish man to write one Sefer Torah. And the Melech, in addition to that basic one Sefer Torah, is obligated to write a second Sefer Torah. Kasozoyas Mishnah HaTorah Zos Mishnah Miloshen Sheni Shnei Sefer Torah. So the Medrash comments, the Mechilta, I think, comments on the Pasuk, Lo Yomish Sefer HaTorah Zos Mipicho, when the Malach spoke to Yeshua ben Nun, and he said, you should always learn this from this Torah. What Torah was he referring to? He's referring to the Mishnah Torah. What do you mean Mishnah Torah? The Mishnah Torah that the Melech has to carry with him. Yeshua had a din of the Melech, and he had a second Sefer Torah that he carries with him. How does it say? He should have the Sefer Torah with him at all times. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, he should always have a tiny little Sefer Torah that he carries with him at all times. So Yeshua had that. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of the Melech, Yeshua had a din of the Melech. So the Yalkut Shimon quotes on this pasuk, it could be a Mechilta, I think, that Sin the Yosnei Yeshua, that at this time, Even though Moshe Rabbeinu is still alive, he's already appointing Yeshua as the Melech. Even though we only read about it later in Baha'u'llah Yisra, where do you see over here that he's appointing him as the Melech? So the Pashto says, because the Gemara says in the second parak in Sanhedrin, that Gimel Mitzvah since Tav Yisrael b'chnisasam la'aretz, the first is Lahamad Lahem Melech, the second is Lahachar Zara Shalom Molech, and then Livnas Lahem Beis Abtira. So the Pashto to the Gemara, and the Rama Moshe like that, the Pashto says that the Mitzvah of Amalek is supposed to be fulfilled Aideh HaMelech, through a Melchama that's supposed to be run by the Melech and the Malchus Yisrael. So that's the pshat in the Medrash over here. Simbi Ozni Yeshua, tell it over to Yeshua. What's unique about Yeshua? Not that Yeshua is going to be the Rosh Hashiva, so he's going to tell it over to the Rabbonim in the next generation. No, Yeshua is going to be the Melech in the next generation, so it's going to be his responsibility. That's one of the major functions of the king, is Lilcha Melchamas Hashem. That's how the Rambam writes the Hilchas Melachim and Melchamas Seyim. And that's how the Psukim in Novi seem to imply that one of the major functions of the king is Lilcha Melchamas Hashem. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu tells it to Yeshua ben Nun, the Miyuchad. He already told him now that he's going to be appointed as the Melech. But the waging the war against Amalek. Apparently it was a different kind of a Melech, right? Apparently it was a different kind of a Melech. The Abar Benel in his Pirush on Chumash, if I'm not mistaken, points out that the mitzvah to be Mamid Melech is only obligatory when a Kohol requests a Melech. That's how the Pasuk says. Let's say there's a mitzvah of mezuzah. Someone is only obligated to put a mezuzah in a house if he lives in a house. If he doesn't, if a fellow sleeps in the parts, he's not mekuyev mezuzah. One is only obligated to wear tzitzis if he wears a four-quarter garment. That's what the Rambam calls in the end of Hilchas Brachas, a mitzvah sarashus. It's not really an optional mitzvah. It means it's a conditional mitzvah. We would have called it a mitzvah ala tanai. If you have this and this condition fulfilled, then you're obligated to perform such a mitzvah. So here also, the psukim, the Abar Benel points out, the psukim say, when the people will request a melech, then the Torah says Santos Melach Mel. So before the days of Shol, they didn't request a Melach. Then they requested of Shmuel HaNavi a Melach, so you had to appoint someone. And we say that Moshe Rabbeinu had a Din Melach and Yeshua Ben Nun had a Din Melach, that was apparently a different Din Melach. It wasn't a Din Melach for that purpose of fulfilling that mitzvah, it was a different Din Melach. That's what the Ran in his long drasha, the drasha Saran, sort of implies. That's where our Soloveitchik was fond of saying over this notion that whoever is the Godel Hador in learning has automatically the status of the Melech. So that's how Moshe Rabbeinu had the Din. There is such a halachic category, Al Pi Din, the Godel Hador. The Gemara in the end of Masechet Brachos speaks about such a concept. Lo hiniach kemoisa be'eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says in the end of Brachos, you're not permitted to do Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashana Chutz Loretz unless you happen to be the Godel Hador and there's nobody left behind in Eretz Yisrael who's on the same level of learning as you. There's nobody back home in Eretz Yisrael to do it, then you have the right to do Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashanah Chutz Loretz. The Gemara says, like Rabbi Akiva was Mabashan and Chutz Loretz, because it was Lehiniyach Kemoisa Beretz Yisrael. So there is such a category, Al Pi Din. Allah recognizes such a concept as a Godel Hador. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say over the Ran, and the Drasha Saran has something like that. That Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua had a Din of a Melech, yeah. And he gave a certain dinim, but not all the full dinim. It wasn't the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Gamarta Asim Alai Melech Cholagam Hashem Tzivoyse, because the tzibur hadn't requested a melech. But it's a different din melech. Because whoever is the Godel Hador has automatically the status of the melech. He can serve as the melech for the purpose of Kiddush HaZorah. He has the obligation to have the Mishnah Torah Azoyts. So it's not communist. Some dinim of melech he does have, and other dinim he does not have. I don't know. Could be. I don't know. There is a famous mechilta on the pasuk Mocha Yemcha Zecha Amalek, The Kulta says that Mikan, we derive from this pasuk that you're not permitted to accept any gerim from Amalek. If any other non-Jew from any nation comes to convert, we will accept him. But if an Amaleki comes to convert, we will not accept him. And then the Mechilta continues to quote a proof for this to establish that this is correct, that that's included in the din of Mocha Emtazech Amalek, that when the Ger HaMaleki came to David and he admitted to him that he was the one he was breaking, he didn't admit, he bragged to the fact that he had killed Shaul HaMelech, and Shaul HaMelech was in the process of dying, and he requested of his assistant that he should kill him, and he said he doesn't want to, so this Ger HaMaleki killed him. So David HaMelech killed the Ger HaMaleki. So the Mechilta comments on this pasuk at the end of B'Shalach, why did he kill a Ger HaMaleik? Because you're not Mekabel Ger from HaMaleik, so the Geris wasn't valid. So he remained a regular HaMaleik. So the din is that you have to kill out all the HaMaleik. That's how the Mechilta understands the Pasuk. It's very difficult understanding of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Picho Ano Picho. You admitted yourself that you killed the Mashiach Hashem. He says, you admit that you killed Shaul HaMelech, so therefore I'm killing you. So the Pasuk said, Beverish, that he killed him because of the fact that he killed the Melech. Not a question, how could he kill him because he killed the Melech? So the Rambam writes in Hilchas Sanhedrin, toward the end of Hilchas Sanhedrin, that we never accept Hadar's Baldin Kemetim Domi is only a din and dini mamadis. It doesn't apply to Malkas and it doesn't apply to Nisa. It never applies to Onshi Aguf. So the Rambam poses the question, how could David HaMelech have killed the Ger HaMaleki based on his own self-admission if we don't accept Hadar's Baldin? So the Rambam says, that was a Hirasho Omidin HaMelech. Rambam might see the one or the other. The Melech has the right to kill people who are dangerous characters, or the Bezna has the right to make Ohayru Ashoa, Yotzman Aklav, Bezmachman, Shishleiman Adin. Ablezer B'Yankiv's Din Shamaiti, Shabezmachman, Shishleiman Adin, Igmarat, and Hedvin Daf Nevo. So the Rambam might say that was an exception to the rule, but whatever it was, how does the Mechilta understand from that Pasuk, the Nikan, Shemekab, and Ger Mi'amolach? He didn't kill him because the Geris wasn't valid and because he was an Amalek. The Pashta says he killed him because he admitted that he had killed Shaul HaMelech. Yes, that's also a parallel. That's another kasha. The pashtus says that there was no situation on Mulchama. So how does the Mechilta understand that David HaMelech, it's against the Pshut Shalmik and it's against Halacha also seems to be. There is no mitzvah stamp to kill an Amalek. That's what some interpret as follows. The pasuk says the Pharisee that he killed him because he killed Shaul HaMelech, not because he was an Amalek. Because he killed Shaul HaMelech. But I found that in the Mechilta understands that if the Geiris would have really been valid, if it would have been a bona fide Geiris, then the Rambam seems to say against that Mechilta. The Rambam says that how could David HaMelech kill the Ger HaMaleki based on his own self-admission? So the Rambam says it was either Hayra Shah Haisa or Midin HaMelech. It was an exception to the rule. So perhaps the Mechilta is implying not so. Perhaps the Mechilta holds that you cannot kill a Yisrael based on Hador HaSatzman. Ben Ben Noyach, you can't. That's what it says in the Talmud Yerushalmi. That you can't kill a Goy based on his own self-admission. The Rambam perhaps does not hold like that Yerushalmi. That's the question. Because when the Rambam writes the din of not giving Misa or Malkus based on Hador HaSatzman, towards the end of Hilchos Sanhedrin, so he writes that it's a Gzeiras HaKasuv, and then he gives another explanation. The end of Perek Yud Ches in Hilchos Sanhedrin. Gzeiras HaKasuv, it's in the middle of Halacha Vav. Should really be a separate paragraph. Should really be Halacha Zayin. In our editions, it's in the middle of Halacha Vav. Gzeiras HaKasuv, Shem and Misa and Bezna, and Malkin Malkim, and Satan, and Hador HaSpiv, and Alpishnai made him. Zeh Shaharag Yoshua Ochon, the David, the Ger HaMaleki, the Hador HaSpiv, Hayra Shahoisa, Omidin HaMalkus Hayah. I was on Hedrin, but according to the official rules and regulations, Amy Misa Veloy Malkim no Malkus no Misa Hamayda Baver Shem and Nitra for Daita the Dova Zeh. Maybe he's crazy. Shem and Minho Amel and Mori Nefeshu, maybe he is depressed. Hamachakim Lamavis, who are just waiting to die, they're dying to die. Shetokim Acharavas Beditnam, they want to commit suicide by pushing a sword into their bodies. Umashlichim Atzmam Yalagagas, they jump off of the rooftops. Shemakach, and he's afraid to kill himself, so he comes and he tells us that he's Chai Misa, that we should do the dirty work for him, we should kill him. So the Rambam writes, Klal Shal Davik Zeres HaMelech. He starts off by saying Zeres HaKosav, he ends off by saying Zeres HaKosav, then literally gives you a whole explanation. So what does he need the explanation for? In the Moran Nebuchim, the Rambam has a whole section in the end of the third, the end of the third section where he gives you Tami HaMitzvah. But here in the Arach HaZokah, he really gives you time for the halachas. He just tells you the dinim. Once in a while, he gives you a Musa Haskel, what you can learn from it. But why is he trying to explain it over here? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. Maybe the Rambam wants to give an explanation why not only by Yisrael you don't kill based on Haidu'as Atzma, even by Bnei Nerech also, you wouldn't kill based on Haidu'as Atzma. But the Mefarshim point out that this is contradicted by the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says the Feirush in his paper. Achina quotes that from the Yerushalmi. That by Bnei Nerech, he can't. Since the Benerich is Nerech al Piyed Echot, the Dain Echot, so all the Dinim are different, and there are no Dinim of Kosher Eid, and even Sulam are also accepted, Kroizma accepted, so Odom can be Nerech al Piyed Echot Asatzmo. So that's what others interpret as Pshat in this Mechilta, that if the Din would have been that Mekablim Ger Me'amalek, so the Ger Amalek is Jewish. So if he's Jewish, he cannot accept his own self-admission that he killed Shaul HaMelech. So the Rambam was bothered with that kasha. He says, it was Ohayru HaShoah, Hoysa Omidin HaMelech. But the Mechilta perhaps understood that it wasn't Ohayru HaShoah. The Mechilta understood it's a regular din. If a Goy admits that he killed, then you can be Mekabel his Hador HaSatzman. So that's what the Mechilta says. Obviously the Geirus was not valid. The Geirus wasn't Chal. Hey, Mekabel Ger Me'amalek. If the din would be Mekabel Ger Me'amalek, then the Ger HaMelech would have been a Jew. Then Dovah HaMelech wouldn't have accepted his own admission, his own self-admission. Ela killed Shaul. But in Achanami, the Mechilta also understands that he killed the Ger Amaleki, not because he was an Amaleki. No, you don't kill Stam and Amaleki who's walking down the block. If it's not in the context of Muhammad, but because they become Ger Mi Amalek, so he remained a Goy. So a Goy, you can accept Haidu'as Atzmai that is Chayv Misa. That's how some interpret Pshat in the Mechilta. It is an interesting Rambam in Hilchas Melachim. When the Rambam writes the Dinim of Melchom against the Zainumois and against the Amalek, so the Rambam writes, we never start waging war with anybody unless we first offer peace to them. In the beginning of Paragraph in Hilchos Melachim, Einaisim Melchama im Adam ba'Olam. We never declare war against anybody. Hashikar lo Shalom. Echem Melchemes Roshus, Echem Melchemes Mitzvah. The Rambam says even by the Zainumis, there's a big machlekes in Rishonim, Tosis in Megillah, and other places Tosis talks about it. The Ravid disagrees with part of the things in the Rambam. The Ravid in Halacha Dalet, but the Rambam writes clearly that this applies even to Amalek and even to the Zainumis. So what does he say? Im Hishlimu. The kibla aleim sheva mitzvah shinstab aleim neinach ein hog mehem neshama v'arei heim lamas shenem lo yu lochol lamas v'la vaducha. And the Ravid disagrees. What's taka the pshat in the Ram? Why should that be said? What happened to the din of killing Amalek? What happened to the din of just because the mekabel of sheva mitzvah b'nef they became a ger taisha? So why should you not be obligated to kill him? So apparently the Rambam seems to understand that just like this halacha that Gershon is got cut in Shanel Adami, that he loses his former status. Let's say if the Amaleki would be Mizgayer, so then he would no longer be known as an Amaleki Mistam. Or if one of the Zainumas are Mizgayer, so he's no longer known as one of the Zainumas. So you can no longer kill him based on the fact that he's one of the Zainumas. He's Israel now. So the Rambam understands that not only if he's Mizgayer, Geres Gemura, even if he's Mizgayer to become a ger toishav, it's also in a certain sense a mikzas of a kotn shenel adam. He's yotze mechlal b'nei nayach. He's no longer a member of his original nationality. He's no longer called an Amalek. You don't have to have a geirus gemura for that purpose. It's efficient if he becomes a ger toishav also. Mentioned there is a gemara in Bava Kamma, but the gemara says commenting on the pasuk in Chavak, "Gomad by meidah eretz ro by yata goyim." But his Baruch Hu saw what was happening in the world, and he was matir. What did he see? What was he matir? So the Gemara says that at the time of Maimon HaSinai Ruah, he saw that all the Muslim are in violation of the Sheva Mitzvah, so he lifted the prohibition. He was matir to them. Omad v'hitiram lahem. He said, you don't have to keep them. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? And came atzino chayte niskar. So crying face. If you violate the Sheva Mitzvah, said Moshe, says, okay, if it's too difficult, forget about it. You don't have to keep the Sheva Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, no. They're still obligated to observe the Sheva Mitzvah of Bnei Noach, but What we mean is that we know that Godel HaMitzvah V'yoseh Nimisha Einu Mitzvah V'yoseh, that one is obligated to perform a mitzvah and does it, gets more reward than the one who is not obligated and volunteers it on his own. So if the Nochrim will observe the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, as Man HaZeh, they will not get as much reward as they would have before HaKadosh Baruch Hu was matter them. We treat them as if they're Einu Mitzvah with respect to the reward, with respect to the Yin of reward. So Rabbi Yosef Engel has in a few places a discussion, what exactly is the Sa'asmit, mainly in the Sefer Otsus Yosef on Yerodei. Beginning of Yerodei, he talks about Shchitas Akum, Shchitas Ger Toshom. And in this Horus al Ashas and the Gilyani Ashas, he discusses what's the status of a Ger Toshom. What do you mean? A Ger Toshom is Mekabal Allah of Sheva Mitzvahs B'Nina. Even if he's not Mekabal, he's anyway Mechuyiv to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs B'Nina. So he wants to say that the Ger Toshom is considered perhaps a partial Gerus. That is Yotze Mechlal B'nei Noach. That's what it sounds from this Rambam. That when the Amalekim or the Zainumas on the Kabbal Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, so they're no longer considered members of Shevet Amalek. They're no longer considered members of the Shevet of the Zainumas. So that's why no longer killed.
The Rambam rejects the book that we spoke about that we don't separate here.
Sounds like it, because the Rambam never quotes that Mechilta. He should have quoted in Hilchas Yisuridiyah. When he quotes all the Dinim of Gerus, he doesn't make any exceptions to the rule. He doesn't quote it. And here, when he raises the question, what right did David have to kill the Ger Amaleki? So he doesn't say because he was an Amaleki. The simple reading in the Mechilta says he killed him because of the fact that he admitted to killing Shaul. The Rambam doesn't say anything about the fact that he was an Amaleki. Sounds like you want a Kabbal Gerim from Amalek. Some shot in the Rambam. You want a Kabbal Gerim from Amalek. The Rambam doesn't seem to hold on. It doesn't appear in the Gemara in any time. So the Rambam doesn't pass from this thing. Big Pashto. So from that Rambam, it would appear to talk of this notion that when a Nachri is Mekabal Olav Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, so it's considered as if he's no longer a member, it's like Kutn Shanel Adam in the sense, he's no longer a member of his original nationality. He's no longer considered a member of Amalek, or he's no longer considered a member of the Zainumas. That's why the Rambam says that you can't kill him. He's not from the Zainumas anymore.
Did you not put this whether Chatting Barma applies to the Gerizim?
Yes, yes.
So
whether it applies to the Natarim of the Rabbanah, yeah, right. Whether the Nesinim is an Isad Derais and Isad the Rabbanah.
Not the Zainumas.
That means the Zainum and his Gaira, they maintain some certain status. Yeah, there is a special status that after they're in his Gaira, so you're not permitted, they're not permitted to marry Israel. Yeah, the Rambam does quote that, but that it's an Issa Deraisa. That's the Pashtus of the Maskana Sagamore, that Nesinim are an Issa Deraisa. That when it says, Lesis Chatnam goes the Geirusam, after they were converted.
Seems like a missionary saying they lose their status as Zainum.
That din of Leishis Chatenbaum is dependent on the nationality where they stem from. But right, this din of killing the Amalek, killing the Zainumas, depends on what status he has right now. So right now he's not from the Zainumas. Even if he didn't convert, even if he only converted to become a Ger Toshav, he's already not called a member of Amalek. And that din depends on where he stems from. A difference. There is a Gemara in famous Gemara Megillah in the first parak that the Torah Tmima quotes on this parsha. The pasuk says, "But the Machne Yisrael and the Machne Mitzrayim were the korav zel zeh kol alaylo, because the Malach Elokim, he's the Malach Elokim, halach lifnei Machne Yisrael ve'elach me'achareihem." Ba'yavo, and the Malach went, this is in Perek Yudal, the Pasuk Chaz, Ba'yavo, Bein Machne Yisrael, Bein Machne Yisrael. But like Korav Zel Zekol Alayla, the two Machnes didn't have any contact all night long. Then in the morning, Kriyas Yamsuf occurred in the morning. That's the Pasuk Shat in the Pasuk. Kriyas Yamsuf occurred in the daytime, not in the nighttime. So the Gemara Megillah has the comment, which appears in a few Midrashim as well, that the expression of the Korav Zel Zekol Alayla is similar to the expression of the Korav Zel Zevi Omar. By the Malachim reciting Shira, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. So the Gemara has the comment, the Megillah, and the Midrashma have Biksha Malachi Asher Islaim Shira. They wanted to recite Shira at the occasion of the punishment of the Mitzrayim, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, it's not right. Ma'isu Yadet HaMayam, Ve'atam HaMashira. These are still the human beings, so it's not proper to say Shira. So the Malachim are given Muslim, and Tafachat, that they shouldn't say Shira.
Why
So all of the Mepharshim discussed the problem, but the Torah recorded the Shira that Bnei Yisrael said. Oh, Yosh Marish Bnei Yisrael. The Jews said Shira, so obviously, and the Torah records it, it means that it's a proper thing to do. This is where we learn out the din, that you, one is obligated to recite Halal, Bishas HaNetz, it's an obligation to erase him. To recite Halal on the occasion of Yeshua, Bishas HaNetz. So how can the Gemara say that Masi Yeretel Mayam Vatnam Shira, that it's improper? So they say, oh, we're storing the name of Abchaim Valojana. But a Jew once came in, a businessman was traveling. He came to a community, saw all the people were dancing and singing, and they were throwing a party. So he asked, what's the celebration? What are they celebrating? They said that the local Jewish master, there was a Jew who lived in the community, and he always used to, I'm a shumad, whatever, he used to master, he used to make a lot of trouble, so he just died. So they're celebrating his death. Okay, so they're celebrating, so he celebrates along with him. So he's also eating and drinking and dancing and singing. Everybody's happy, so he's happy with him. So they say that Abchaim Olajon gave this mashal. Not that it really happened, he gave a mashal. So the Rav came over to this businessman, so he says, no, you're not allowed to celebrate. We suffered under the hands of this Mishulman, under the hands of this Moser for years and years. So now that he finally dropped dead, we're throwing a party, and we have the right to rejoice. But you have no right to rejoice, because you're just traveling through town. You're not, you never suffered at his hands. So it's not proper to rejoice over the mapola of any human being. So that's what Rav Chaim Volozhin has said when he gave that marshal. So he said that perhaps explains the difference over here. The Malachim never suffered at the hands of the Mitzrim. So they should sing Shira over the mapola of the Mitzrim. That's not proper. So of course, they are human beings. But the Bnei Yisrael suffered at the hands of the Mitzrim. So they had the right to sing Shira. That's the Pashim Shem. That's what it's usually assumed. Other commentaries say a whole different twist, a whole different interpretation. It comes out just the opposite. That there is a Gemara, I think, in the end of Sanhedrin, where the Gemara says that the armies of Sancheirev died because they heard the Malachim singing the sweet Shira, and it was so pleasant, the Shira Samalachim, that the Neshama just left their bodies. It was too much for them to bear in a human state. So that's what the Pasuk means, that's what the Medrash means to say over here. Picture, the Malachi Hasharis knew that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to kill the Mitzrim, and they were going to drown. Is that terrible? They should drown these Mitzrim. That's a Misa Meguna Miyot. So the Malachim said, we'll do the dirty work for you. Picture Malachi Hasharis Laim Hashira. So they wanted to sing Shira, so they should die in a sweet fashion, in a pleasant fashion. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, what are you talking about? Maisa Yadav Tev Mayam, they were drowning my children, the Jewish people. Not Maisa Yadav refers to the Mitzrim. Maisa Yadav refers to the Jewish babies. Maisa Yadav Tev Mayam, they tortured the Jewish people. But Atta Namam Shira, you're going to give them such a sweet, pleasant death. Let them drown in the Yam. Me, the Canadian leader. That's the way they tortured the Jewish people. So let them suffer also. So that has the exact opposite in interpreting the Medrash, but it's not the exact opposite about rejoicing over someone else's mapo. Anyway, but the standard pshat, the one that's usually given, is the first pshat, the Pashim pshat. That the outsiders shouldn't rejoice over someone else's mapo. The Chasam Sefer writes, in one of his tshuvas, that the reciting of Halal on Chanukah is an obligation in our Torah. Why? Because the Gemara says in the first parak in Megillah, and Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, that one of the Midrash HaTorah of the Rashi's Bem is Kal V'Chomer. That's how it says in the Brisa Rebbe Shmuel. And the Gemara says in the first parak in Megillah that we really should have recited Hallel on Purim as a Kal V'Chomer. Imami Abdus Lecheru, the Jewish people recited Halal, they recited Oz Yashir, Shira Sayam. So Mimovis Lachaim Lekolshkein, when they had the redemption in the days of Esther, they should certainly recite Halal. And the Gemara gives various reasons why we don't recite Halal. But we do recite Halal. The family and Chanukah, the Kal V'Chomer remain. There's no Pirucha and the Kal V'Chomer. There's no reason to reject the Kal V'Chomer. So if the Kal V'Chomer, the Mamatzino remains, either Mamatzino or Kal V'Chomer, whatever it is, and the Mela, we should assume that it's revealed in their eyes. So that's how the Chasam Sofer says, that the reciting of Halal Chanukah is the right. The Netziv quotes that Chasam Sofer in his commentary on the Shiltas, in the Haimek Shova, and he disagrees. He says, how can you say that Halal Chanukah is the right? It's the Feirish Gemara and Brachas, Daf Yudala, and it's coincidentally the same Daf, and Brachas Daf Yudala, the Gemara said the Feirish, that Halal Chanukah is only the Rabbanah. The Gemara has a discussion. The Mishnah discusses at one point, at which points in Kriyat Shema is one permitted to be mafstik to say good Shabbos or Shalom Aleichem or Aleichem Shalom to someone else. Someone walks into shul late, in the middle of Krishma. Someone walks in the middle of Krishma on Shabbos morning, whatever, and weekday morning, and then he greets me, he starts talking to me. So when am I permitted to answer him? When am I permitted to greet him? It's now covered, it's now Yira, Shoyal, Meshiv. So you have different opinions in the Tanakh. So the Gemara has a discussion that the Mishnah only gives you the rules and regulations of being mafsik, but now you're in the middle of Kriyat Shema. What about in the middle of Halel on Rosh Chodesh? What about in the middle of Halel on Chanukah? So the Gemara says, well, Halel on Chanukah, each one has pros and cons. So the Gemara says, well, Halel on Chanukah on the one hand is a Pesum Inisa, so maybe it's more common than Kriyat Shema. On the other hand, you can say not so, that Kriyat Shema is the Reis and the Halel on Chanukah is only the Rabban. So the Gemara negotiates. A chilek between Rosh Chodesh when you only say Chatzi Hal as opposed to Chanukah when you say Gant Hal. So you see the Beirush in the Gemara. The Gemara says that Halal Chanukah is only the Rabban. So how can some stoikers say that Halal Chanukah is the right? I had a taina that isn't Kal Vachomer, one of the Midrash HaTorah and Zeshes Bem. Shouldn't it be the Araisa? So first of all, we're not so sure whether the Kal Vachomer was ever formulated L'gabi Chanukah. The Gemara says the Kal Vachomer L'gabi Purim because it was Gzeira L'Hashpan L'Har L'Yabad is called Yehudim. On Chanukah, the famous comment of the Taz in the name of the Taz, he says that there, or Lelush, the name of Lelush, I think, he says there never was a Gzeira on, there was a Gzeira Sashmad L'Haviram Amitzvah Satera because the Jewish people to violate the laws of Torah, but there never was a Gzeira Sashmad to kill them physically, to annihilate the Jewish people physically. That's what the Taz quotes in the name of the Bach or the name of the Levush. I think the Kitzur Shulchanot quotes that. Why is it that the Chachamim only introduced the mitzvah Tzudah on Purim and not on Chanukah? Because on Purim their bodies were endangered, and on Chanukah the bodies were not endangered. So once you say there's no Kal Vachomer, once you say the bodies were not endangered, then perhaps there's no Kal Vachomer. So maybe that's the answer. But L'chor, you don't even need a Kal Vachomer. If you have a Mamatzinu, it's also good enough to make a Chiyuv Halal Deraisa. So why not be done a Mamatzinu? So the Mitzvah says, no, the whole premise is a mistake. Where are we learning out? At the time of Yitzhias Mitzrayim, it was only Avdus L'Cheirus. They said, Halil. So, Mimisa L'Chaim, Mimavus L'Chaim L'Koshkin. What do you mean, Mi'avdus L'Cheirus? When did they say Halil? So the obligation to say Halil is only Halil B'Shatz HaNes. Halil Zechel HaNes, we don't find that there's an obligation, in the Torah, to recite Oz Yashir every year on Shmini Shal Pesach, on Shvi Shal Pesach. There's no such obligation. The Torah records the fact that Bnei Yisrael said Shira at the time of Kriyas Yamsu to indicate to us that they did the proper thing. The proper thing meaning that one is obligated to recite Halal B'Shas HaNes. If the Bas of Adam does you a favor, you have to say thank you. So if the Baruch Shalom does you a Yishu, you have to say thank you also. You have to say a big thank you very much. You have to say thank you very, very much. You have to say all Shira. But it doesn't say a word about Halal Zechel HaNes that every consequent year you have to repeat the Halal again. That's the time of the Nitziv, that Halal B'Shas HaNes, he's masking that that's the right. That's what you learn out from Al Yosher. But Halal Zechel HaNes, he times that that's only the Rabbana. And that's why the Gemara says that Halal HaChanukah is only the Rabbana. The Gemara in the end of Bava Metzia about the Achnas and Sarchim that Avraham Avinu did, in the skus of the various aspects of Achnasas Dorachim, he offered them water and he gave them food, different things. Everything that he did was paid up later and later generations. The Bnei Shalom gave Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar water and man and everything. So the Gemara seems to imply that the man came down in the skus of Avraham Avinu. And then there's the Gemara in Tainus that says that the Be'er was in the skus of Miriam HaTzadikis, and Anani HaKavod were in the skus of Aaron HaKoyin, and the Mon was in the skus of Moshe Rabbeinu. The famous Gemara in the first Perek in Tainus, so the Maharsho in Tainus is bothered with the Stirim. That Gemara in Bav Metzia and Perek HaSechas HaPoilim sounds like it says, the Gemara even says the name of the city was Olush. The Pasuk doesn't say. Vayisum Eilim Vayavoyo Kol Adaz Bnei Yisrael Amidbar Sin Asher Ben Eilim Ben Sinai. Then they were complaining about food, and they got mon. It doesn't say what the name of the city is. It just says the Midbar Sinai. Everything was in Midbar Sinai. So the Gemara and the Medrash identify it was Alush, based on other Pesukim and Chumash from Alush. They went to the Rafidim, and the next part here was Rafidim. So that we work backwards, we see that it was Alush. So the Gemara says, why does it have to be Alush? Because it was Al Shem Lushi Vasiu Ghost. Since Avraham Avinu used that expression, Lushi Vasiu Ghost, so that's why the mon was paid back to the Bnei Yisrael in the city of Lush. So the Gemara in Taina says, as in the schluss of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara Bamsia says it was in the schluss of Avraham Avinu. That's the Maharsha's kasha. So the Maharsha gives a teretz. He says that the initial, a little bit of mon, the first amount of mon was in the schluss of Avraham Avinu. But the fact that the mon lasted for 40 years, that was in the schluss of Moshe Rabbeinu. What good would it have been if the mon would have only lasted for the first week? They would have died from starvation for the other 39 and a half years. So what does that mean? What kind of a compromise is that? So I saw someone suggest pshat in the Mashur as follows. He says, it's pashup pshat. One of the Svarim says pashup pshat. The original plan was, if not for the Chet HaMeraglim, the original plan was, it's only 11 days. They were going to go in 11 days, the whole trip. They're going to have Maimon HaSinai, everything in 11 days. They're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. So in this, that was the original plan. Then because they thinned with the Chet HaEgel, so the Rabban Shalom said, because of the Chet HaMeraglim, so the Rabban Shalom said they're going to stay in Midbar for 40 years. Because of the Yom Lashana, because of the 40 days. So the Rabban Shalom's original plan was, he's going to give Mon an exclusive Avraham Avinu for a couple of days, a couple of weeks, till they're going to get out of the Midbar. But then, when the plan was changed, and he decided that he's going to keep them in the Midbar for 40 years, so perhaps that's the pshat of the Mashur, that's enough exclusive for Avraham Avinu, that's it. He doesn't deserve so much schluss that he should get paid back for 40 years' work. So that was in the schluss of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what some suggest pshat in the Mashal. Don't know. How about it? The man about it came later. Means for a short period of time. There would have been mon, there would have been food for a short period of time. And the fact that it lasted so long, that was a change in the plan. But that was in the schluss of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bnei Yisrael they're not permitted to leave over any mon until the next morning. And nonetheless, Rashi quotes from the Gemara, the Midrashim from the Gemara, that the mon that fell on Zayin Adar lasted them from Zayin Adar until Zayin Nisan. They had it for quite a few weeks. So the Mefarsh asked the Kasha, how were they permitted to leave over the month from Zayin Adar to Zayin Nisan? Moshe Rabbeinu said that you're not allowed to leave it over. So there are different suggestions on this Kasha. So someone has a suggestion. The month that came down on Friday, they were told they may leave over till Shabbat. So what about the month that came down on Friday? Could they leave it over to Sunday also? If it didn't, you can only leave it over to Shabbos, because Shabbos is not going to be any month. Whenever there's no month, whenever you know there's no more month tomorrow, then you can't leave over. Whenever the Rebbe Shalom promises you there's going to be month tomorrow, so he says, don't leave over today to tomorrow. Don't put away money in your savings bank. Have bitachon. Trust in the Lord. Trust the Rebbe Shalom. He promises you he's going to give you month. So Shabbos, he said, no mon, so then you have to leave over from Friday to Shabbos. To leave over from Shabbos to Sunday, maybe it was also. Maybe you should say no. Maybe you should say that the mon that fell down on Friday was a yoytze min haklal, that there was no isim. Some suggest, based on the Gemaras, the Midrashim seem to say that year Zayin Adar was on Friday. The year that Moshe Rabbeinu died. So Shaila in the Gemara, whether Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos, the Midrashim I think, whether he died on Shabbos or on Friday. But apparently the last month that they got was on Friday morning. If he died on Shabbos, so the month didn't come down on Shabbos. So the last month that they had was the Friday morning month. And if one should assume that the Friday month stopped, is an exception to the Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom, whatever month comes down then, you're permitted to leave over. So then there's no kasha. They could have done this all the 40 years in the Midbar. Whatever month came down on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov wasn't subject to the prohibition of Al Yosef and Manuat Breaker. That's the question. Is that true or not? Take, for example, there's a din, Al Solim Pulo Sochir Itchu Ad Breaker. Let's say someone did some work for me, and he finished the job, so I have to pay him right away. What happens if I didn't pay him right away? I have money the next day. So does the din apply that I have to pay him as soon as possible? Or do you say no? That once I've already waited till the next breaker, so there's no violation in waiting for it. So the Gemara in the end of Bava Metzia talks about this, and the Gemara says whenever you have such a phrase, ad boiker, the pashtus is that it only refers to the first breaker unless every alfusa that says otherwise. So here also, if Moshe Rabbeinu says that the man should be eaten on the same day, so if you don't have any alfusas to indicate otherwise, perhaps the Yisra only applies to leave it over to the next morning. So on the Friday morning, the Erev Shabbos Dikir, Erev Yontif Dikir Mon, that they were permitted to leave over till Shabbos or till Yontif, obviously was not subject to this prohibition. So maybe that's the reason why the Mon that came down on Friday before the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, no Mon that came down on Erev Shabbos Erev Yontif was subject to any Yisra. They could have saved up all the month and the whole 40 years in the Midbar, Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. They could have had cholent from all the Aboyim Shana. So they saved up that time. That's the question, is that correct or not? Others suggest the other mahalak that we said. Why were they permitted to leave over the month from Friday to Shabbos? Because they were told no month will come down on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So that's why there's no prohibition. Why not leave over? You're not permitted to leave over from Sunday to Monday, Monday to Tuesday, because they were told that the man is going to come down. Whenever they were told there is going to be man, then there's an issa to leave over. Whenever they were knew in advance that there's not going to be any man, then there's no prohibition to leave over. So after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were told, that's it, King Allah, no more man. The man is in the schools of Moshe Rabbeinu. How do they know? So the Gemara says in Tainis that they knew. The Gemara says that the bear is the bear. The Mayim in the Midbar was in the schus of Miriam, and when she died, the bear disappeared. And then he returned back in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. And now Anani Yaakov is in the Midbar, the Abayim Shana, on the schus of Aaron HaKoyim. And after he died, it says, Vayiru, how does it say, Vayiru b'nei Yisrael kigova aharon. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Artikir Vayiru, Ela Vayiru, they were visible, they had become exposed. The Jewish people were exposed because they no longer had the protection of the Anani HaKovet. That's the one beginning of Maseches Rosh Hashanah by Yero. The Jewish people were exposed for a short period of time until the Anani HaKovet were returned again in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then when Moshe Rabbeinu died, so they lost all three. They lost the bear and the Anani HaKovet with the man. So right away they didn't know. The man came down on Friday. Moshe Rabbeinu either died Friday or Shabbos, whatever. So they didn't realize. They couldn't recognize about the man. They're not going to know until Sunday morning. But they saw right away the bear disappeared. And they saw right away the Anani HaKovet disappeared. So they should have understood that whatever is in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to be there anymore. So the man was in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. So since they understood there's not going to be any more man, so then there's no prohibition to leave over. Perhaps the whole prohibition to leave over only applies when you're told in advance that there is going to be mon tomorrow. When you know in advance it's not going to be a mon, there's no reason. You're not believed to have the talking shel shof. The talking, the Baruch Hashem promises you he's going to give you food tomorrow, so don't leave over, don't put any money in the savings account. There's no need. So the Baruch Hashem promised that why should I waste it? I may as well spend all of my money today. Why should I put money away for tomorrow if the Baruch Hashem promised? But if the Baruch Hashem says there isn't going to be any money, I'm not going to take care of you tomorrow. So it's move a me'eloh. So you better take care of yourself. God takes care of those that take care of themselves. So if he tells you, I do not promise any more money. It doesn't promise any money, so you better put away money. So that's what they do. On Shabbos Shira, the Magen Avraham records a minig that they had in Europe in different communities that they used to feed the birds. Because then HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekaper schar kol beria, and the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu told them that on Shabbos there isn't going to be any man, they shouldn't bother to look. And the Pasuk says that some of the people some of the people didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu and they went out to bring man and they didn't find v'loy matzo. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash on the pasuk v'loy matzo, they didn't find. What do you mean v'loy matzo? It sounds like it was there and they couldn't find it. And the Medrash says they knew Moshe Rabbeinu, what Moshe Rabbeinu said was going to be fulfilled, that there's not going to be any man. So they carried the man, they planted the man in the Midbar. They took some of the man that they collected on Friday, they put it in the Midbar in order to pick it up on Shabbos morning, in order to defy Moshe Rabbeinu, to show him that the man did come down. And then a Nes Min HaShamayim occurred, and the birds came and they ate up all of the man. So when the Dasan Abiram went out on Shabbos morning to go look for their man, to show that man had come down, there was no mammon. So in order to repay the debt of gratitude that we all owe to the birds for protecting the fine reputation of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu said there isn't going to be any mon, and these two guys are going to show that there was mon. So Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Mekaper Schar Kol Beri, so we feed the birds on Shabbos here. That was the minhag. So the Magen Avraham thinks that it's he quotes Achronim and say that it's not proper. Mishnah Berurah has a whole discussion about this. Some Achronim say it's not proper because there's a Gemara Maseches Beitza that an animal who is not mizayin the same alecho, if it's not your obligation, if it's not your responsibility to feed this animal, so there's the Gzeirat Rabbanu Shema Yotzu that you're not allowed to feed that animal. That's what the Maharil writes on Rosh Hashanah. The minhag was that the people used to go to say Tashlich by the river. And then what did they do when it said Tashlich? So the Maharil quotes that the some had the minhag to shake out the crumbs in their pockets. They used to carry food in their pockets. They used to shake out the crumbs to feed the fish in the river. So the Maharil says that it's forbidden to do that because the fish are not my responsibility. If I have a fish bowl at home, and if I don't feed these fish, they're going to die, so it's my responsibility. So then the Gemara says, you're permitted to be matriarch yourself to feed the fish on Shabbat Yom, but it's not, if it's the fish in the river, it's not my responsibility. However they lived until now, they'll continue to live on. I was never responsible for giving them the mizayin, so same mizayin, same alecho, then it's gzeir Hashem ayotzu. When the Rabbanu Shalom told them, "Vayomer Moshe Aleihem, Ishal Yerzim Menu Aberka," they're not allowed to leave over till the next morning. Why is that? Is that because the Rabbanu Shalom tells them, "I want you to have bitachon. I promise you that every day, except for Shabbos and Yom Tov, is going to be mon, and therefore I don't want you to be worried about parnasa. I want you to eat up all the mon today. Don't put anything in your savings account. Don't put any money in the bank. Al Yerzim Menu Aberka, have bitachon, because I'm promising you, and I'm going to deliver. Is that what the pshat is?" Or is a pshat that it's like a korban, it's like kachin kachin. Like kachin kachin is the man is yom v'layla. It's very mekudesh, very holy. So some point out the second pshat that it's like kachin kachin, because the pasuk says by lo shomu al moshe by yisira anashim emenu ad breaker by yoram tarloim by yibash, that it became spoiled. Normal food doesn't become spoiled just because you leave it overnight. The family is that it was on such a high madrega kedusha. The more mekudesh it is, the more chashuv it is, so the quicker it becomes spoiled. After the zman is over, and during the zman not. But the Rebbe Shalom says, tomorrow there's going to be new man. So the man from today is leftover man, so it's going to spoil. Don't the rolls in Eretz Yisrael taste much more delicious than the rolls in America? But if you eat it tomorrow, it tastes awful, no? A roll in America, if you eat it the next day, it's a good fella. But the rolls in Eretz Yisrael family, they're more Mekudesh, because they grew in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know. Those rolls are made from Israeli flour or from American flour. I'm not sure. In Kutlar. Oh. Maybe the chashiv is because it's baked in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. But it's spoil faster. The things that are more Mekudesh spoil faster. After this man is up. The same thing, let's say, if you cut off flowers. Cold man, the flowers are attached to the ground, so they don't spoil, they're still growing. If they cut off the flowers, they're actually cut off fruits or vegetables, so if you don't leave them in the refrigerator, if you leave them out for a long time, they're going to spoil. If you have a behemoth dies, it's going to spoil faster, in less time. While it's alive, that's its man. After it dies, after its man is up, so then it's going to spoil much faster. And if a human being dies, then his body starts to decay, starts to smell even faster than the dead animals. So it's the assumption that the more chashuv the thing is, so after its man is up, the faster it will be nifsal. So perhaps that's the pshat over here. Al yoshev menu abreka, because it's a pchina like very mekudesh, it's like kachin kachin, that it's only nechel yom v'layla, and then if you leave it over by yoram tarvan by yibash, it will become spoiled mamash. There is a medrash that says, "L'nitn tera elo l'echli haman." Tera can only be given to those who are reading the man. Means that you have to work for a parnasa, so when are you going to have time to learn?
Tanor says a big thing. Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Tezayin, Zeha Dabar Shatsiv Hashem, Likna Menu Ish Lefiach, Lohim Ala Gugolis, Nishpan Avshem, Sechem Ish Lashir, Roholit Bikofus. I never knew that there was anything special about this Pasuk. There is a problem in the Pasuk that I knew. Why it says Zeha Dabar Shatsiv Hashem? Why Shatsiv Hashem only applies to a Din Ladari? It doesn't apply to a Hirashah. So how can he say the whole parsha over here is only Hirashah? The whole man is only Hirashah. So why does he use the expression as Shatsiv Hashem? That's a problem. But I never knew there was anything else unique about the Pasuk. The Rishayim point out, I don't know if they're quoting a Medrash or they on their own, the Rishayim point out that in this Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Tezayin, I think they mean to say that this is the only Pasuk in the whole Tanakh that has the entire Aleph Bet. There's more than one Pasuk, but this is one of them. How many others are there?
Two
in Torah. Oh. So this is one of the Pesukim that has the entire Aleph Bet contained. What's the moral of the story? What are you trying to bring out? That the Pesam Rishonim say that they're trying to bring out how difficult Parnos is. A lot of young people think that it's easy, you know. They just come home and their parents have all the food there. Father has the money, mother has the food in the refrigerator, and everything goes easy. It's not so easy. That Parnos is equivalent to all of the other Terachim from A to Z that a person may possibly have. That's why the Pasuk that speaks of Parnos, that Parnasa has in its pasuk from Aleph to Tav. That's what some Rishonim say. That's other kavanas, but the Rishonim feel that there's some kavana here. Why the pasuk in connection with Parnasa has from Aleph to Tav? That's what some want to say. Why was the man given in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu, like Gemara in Tainus in the first parak on Daf Tes, at the moment in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who gave them the Torah min Hashemayim. The Rebbeinu Shalom gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu to give to Bnei Yisrael. And the Gemara says in the Dorim on the Aflam Mechet that originally the original plan was that Rebbeinu Shalom is going to give the Torah to Moshe Eluzara. And then Moshe Rabbeinu was not but Torah Vestayin, and he gave it over to all of Bnei Yisrael. But here the Medrash says Lo nitna Torah Ela Lo'echli Hamon. The Mon enabled the Bnei Yisrael to sit and learn Torah. So Hasvar and Asenis said the same one who's giving them the Torah, the same one as the Shliach to give them the Torah, has to be the one to see to it that they get them up. That's perhaps why the man was given. That's what some Nefoshim suggest. Perhaps that's the reason why the man was given in the Schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe in the Anani Kovid were in the Schus of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the man was in the Schus of Aaron. So they say, no. The Gemara knew that the man had to be in the Schus of Moshe Rabbeinu because he was the one who gave the Torah. It's called Torah Moshe. So if he was the one who gave the Torah, and the man was for the purpose of enabling when he's supposed to learn, that's part of his job as a good malamed. He has to teach them the Torah and remove all the other dangas hafarnasa that they have. He has to teach the Torah to them in the easiest way. So the easiest way is that he should give them the parnasa. When you have a kailo, let's say a guy, great talmud chacham wants to open a kailo. What does he want to open a kailo? He feels that he has so much to offer the olam haTorah that he wants to give over his Torah thoughts to his talmidim. So if he opens a kailo, he has to give them money. If he's not going to give money, so how would they be able to learn and concentrate? So that's part of his responsibility. The real Rosh Hashiva is the one who gives the money to the Talmidim, enables them to learn. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was the real Rabban Shal Yisrael. He saw to it that they had mon, and his chus they had mon. And that enabled them to learn, but that was Moshe. Some want to go so far as to suggest this is a little probably off. This is probably wrong. Since the Rebbeinu Shlom's plan originally was like the Gemara Dorm Daftam Aches, Lanitna Pera Elo Lemoshe Lazaro, even Moshe Rabbeinu Noach Batoi Besaina, he gave it over to Bnei Yisrael. Some want to suggest that according to the original plan, there would have only been Mon for Moshe Rabbeinu and his descendants. The others weren't going to have the Torah, they were just going to get Kitta Shulchan Aruch, Kitta Pitzke, Halachas. But the real Kailal, that was just going to be Moshe and his family. So there was no need for Mon for everybody else. So the initial mon that came down to Moshe Rabbeinu and his family, that was in the schus of Avraham Avinu. And the mon, the fact that there was mon for everybody, that was already in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's brainstorm. But he not about Torah B'Sayin, he decided to give the Torah to everybody. So I can give the Torah to everybody, but they have to earn a living. So he's going to see to it that they won't have any dying at Tapanah. So that was his responsibility. So in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu, the mon came down for everybody. The Pashtus is that it's not correct. The Gemara, the Medrash doesn't say... The Medrash says Lanitn Tara Ella Lachle Hamon. It doesn't say Lanitna Lanita Hamon Ella Lalemdi HaTorah. It doesn't say that. doesn't say it's the opposite. It says, "Lenitna Torah Ela Leech Le'amon." You're going to tell me that because originally the plan was that only Moshe and Zara are going to have the Torah, so the original plan would be that the one would only have been given to Moshe and Zara? It doesn't say that. Everybody else is going to work for a living, and they'll buy food and the corner grocery. They're going in the mikvah. Where are they going to buy food? It's the whole word is probably off. Pashto says that it's not correct. No, but that makes sense. That's reasonable. Since Moshe Rabbeinu is the Melamed Torah, the part of teaching them the Torah is to make it easier for them to understand, to explain it well, to make it easy, not to make it hard. Some Rashi Yeshiva have a knack of making easy things hard. Others have a knack of making hard things easy. So Moshe Rabbeinu was a good Rebbe. He tried to make everything easy, 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 easy. So easy, easy is to teach that they shouldn't have any distractions, shouldn't have any dagnas hafarnos.
It's not constant between
what you call the learning. No, learning Torah means it's only possible to succeed in learning if you don't have to work for a living. If you learn in the kollel and they give you all of your needs. But if you have to work for a living and then you have to learn a couple of hours a day, so you're not going to succeed so much enough. That's the simple meaning of the medicine. One can only really succeed in learning if his parnasa problems are taken care of. So then we can understand very well why the Chachamim had a tradition that the one was given in the school of Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was the one who was a Melamed Torah. The part of being Melamed Torah is to make it easy for them. The part of making easy was seeing to it that they had parnasa.
According to this shot, Avram's school was for what did start Moshe?
That's what some suggest, yeah.
And then Moshe was better.
Yeah, that's how some suggest. I think that's wrong, though. Because the Medrash didn't say the reverse. Lanitan Hamon Ela Lelon de Ter. It says Lanitna Hater Ela Lech Le Hamon. It doesn't say in the opposite direction. The problem, Taka, why does it say Zadava Shatsiva Hashem? It's only Hayra Ashur. Unless one should say that perhaps the Pasuk is saying a Din L'Doros, the application happens to be a Hayra Ashur. The Din L'Doros is that every father of a household has an obligation to take care of the parnasta of his wife and his children. That's what it says in the Pasuk. Likta memenu ish l'fiyach lo'em ala gugolis nispanav shasech v'ish l'asher b'holot ikochot. There is such an obligation. Every man who's married has an obligation to take care of his own parnasa. Everyone has an obligation to take care of his own. If he's married, he has to take care of his wife, he has to take care of the family. So maybe that's the Zehadov Ashatziv Hashem. Zehadov is usually a term that's used only when it's a din l'derish, and Ashatziv Hashem is also only a term that's used l'derish. And the Pasuk is speaking about a Hayrasha, so maybe that's what it means. This is a Hayrasha application of a din which is l'derish. What is a din l'derish? It's a normal din that everyone has to earn a living. The din that a lot of people don't believe exists. A lot of people think there just ain't no such din. But there is. The Gemara says there is such a din. Everyone writes in the Ksuvah, no Eflok, Ve'eka, Ve'ez, and in case someone thinks otherwise, that we write it explicitly in the Ksuvah. I will go get a job and support you. The husband obligates himself to support his wife. The Rambam says that these dinim regarding the man are not counted in the Mispar of Taryag Mitzvah because they were only Hayrah Shah. They only count dinim that are no Egluderis. Hayrah Shah is not included. So that's what they quote in the name of Rav Elva Soloveitchik on this kasha that the Mefarshim that the Achrayim are bothered with. How did they know that they were allowed to save the mon that fell on Zion Adar, that they were allowed to keep it until Tez Zion Nissan, to the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach? Wasn't that a violation of the din of Yishal Yosem Menu Ad Boker? So they said because the Rav Elva Soloveitchik said because the Rambam writes in the Yarach HaZofer that was only Hayrah Shor, the din of the mon. So the Hayrah Shor was told to them that it's only during the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu. The minute Moshe Rabbeinu dies, that this Hayrah Shor doesn't apply anymore. So the Mela, when he saw Moshe Rabbeinu die, so they were permitted to keep over the month. A little unclear, unless that's what they were taught to Shas Moshe. The Gemara says that we have two halachas, probably dinim de Rabbanon, although some want to say that they're Eisen. We have two takanas de Rabbanon, al pi pashtus, that is Zecher Lamon. One is that on Shabbos we should eat three Sudas, and one is, the other thing is that we should say Hamotzi Ova Lecha Mishnah. The Lecha Mishnah is because on Friday a double portion came down. And the three Sudas is because Moshe Rabbeinu tells him Echlu Hayom, Shabbos Hayom Lashem, Hayom Lo Tzimtzu Basoda. So because he uses the word Hayom three times in the same pasuk, the Gemara derives in Masechta Shabbos, in Perek Kol Kisvei, Gemara derives from this the fact that Bnei Yisrael ate three Sudas on Shabbos in the Midbar from the month. So Zecher Lamon, we should remember this nest of the month, Zecher Lamon, we today eat Shalosh Sudas on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, the Rishonim say you have to have Lecha Mishnah. What about Shabbos Shudas on Yom Tov? That's the question. The Rambam says that on Yom Tov you have to have Shabbos Shudas just like on Shabbos. And in Shulchan Aruch we don't pass from like the Rambam. How do we know not to accept the Rambam's opinion? So the Gemara Goyim points out in the Bir Agroa on Shulchan Aruch that it's based on the Talmud Yerushalmi. In Maseches Ma'aseh Sheni, the Mishnah talks about the Zman HaBir. An Erev Pesach of the fourth year, an Erev Pesach of the seventh year, you have the mitzvah of Biur, that you have to give away the truma to the Kohanim, you have to give away the Ma'aseh Rishon to the Levim, and the Ma'aseh Sheni you have to eat up. So let's say have tons and tons of Ma'aseh Sheni. Now know that it's not shaykh to eat it up, so you have to get rid of it. So you should leave over whatever you think you're going to eat during the course of Pesach, and whatever you think is going to be extra, you have to destroy. So the Talmud Yerushalmi discusses how much should you plan to eat. This is just Shabbos coming up and Pesach, so leave over Sholosh Sudas. If it's a Yom Tov, so you only leave over Mazon Shtei Sudas. The Talmud Yerushalmi is the fairest, that there is no Sholosh Sudas on Yom Tov. So that's why in the Shulchan Aruch we don't accept the Rambam's opinion, because it's contradicted by the other Rishonim who say it's against the Talmud Yerushalmi. It's a problem though, if the both Takonot Derabbanan, the Pashtus is Takonot Derabbanan. If we look at it, quote some Achrayim and some Rishonim want to say the Sholosh Sudas is their right. But the Pashtus is Sholosh Sudas only Derabbanan. So the question is, if they're both Takonos the Rabbanim were instituted Zecher Lamon, so how come on Yom Tov you split? Why is it that on Yom Tov you make the one Zecher Lamon you do have? That you have Lecha Mishnah. The other Zecher Lamon that you require the Shalosh Sudas, you don't have. That's a problem.
In the Rabbis of Yerushalmi, they're making a special for beer. Why don't you say put Mishnah to Sukkah? That would even use the Al Sudas and Sukkah.
Two Sudas. The Mishnah there makes the Cheshvan including Shabbos also. No. Rav Leizer holds that you mechuyev to eat 14 Sudas for 7 days times 2. So what happens to Shalosh Sudas on Shabbos? So whatever you do with Shabbos, you'll do with Yom. I don't know. It's a repair, so it doesn't open Shalosh Sudas. I don't know. But Tan Yerushalmi explicitly makes the contrast between Shabbos and Yom. That on Shabbos you do leave over Shalosh Sudas, third Sudas of Shabbos. Yom Tov, you don't. There's one time in the Gemara, we had a Tesis quoted in the first Perek of Bavas, there's one time Rav Chitkin in the Gemara Masech HaShabbos in Perek Kol Kisvei, who says that it says three times Hayom, alluding to the three Sudas you have to have by Yom. But that's in addition to the Sudas you have to have by Laila. The Sudas HaLaila isn't even mentioned. So on Shabbos you have to have four meals, one B'Leil Shabbos, and three by Yom of Shabbos. You don't follow that opinion. The Rana Masechus Shabbos on Perikol Kisvei quotes in the name Rabbi Natan that women are just as obligated as men to observe both of these dinim, to observe the din of Lecha Mishnah, to observe the din of Sholosh Sudas. A lot of times the women are in the kitchen busying themselves with things over there, and the husband says, Hamoitin, he cuts up all the challahs, and the wife comes in later and she says, Aron Hamoitin, she takes a slice of the challah. So the Rana quotes the name Rabbi Natan that it's not proper if the woman hasn't fulfilled Lecha Mishnah. He has to have the hamotzi over two chalas that are shlemis. It's the same as the men. Same obligation as the men. No difference. And the same thing in Shalosh Sudas. The women are just as obligated in Shalosh Sudas as the men. By the Hasidim, they were never makbid about that. That the women should be nizer in Shalosh Sudas and the women should be nizer in Lecha Mishnah. They were never makbid. So if Shlomo Kluge has a tshuva, he tries to defend their practice. Shlomo Kluge lived in Galicia, abroad. Heavy Hasidus there. So they were never makbid about this, that he tries to defend the position. So he says, well, it's a machlekes harishayim. So the minig is lahalcha. What's the machlekes harishayim? There. The Iran has machlekes with the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam says that women are obligated to have Lecha Mishnah and Shalosh Sudas because Abin Haibi Asanet. Since the Lecha Mishnah and Shalosh Sudas is a takana of the Rabbeinu Zechel and Asanon,
And the women experienced the ness of the man as well, came down every day, and the priesthoods and the lachmish and everything, so they're just as obligated as the men. And the Ran disagrees with Rabbi Natan, and he says he thinks that he has a different tam. He thinks that the reason is because Kosh Yeshna Meshamar Yeshna Mezachar. That just like women are just as obligated as the men are regarding Kiddush on Shabbos, despite the fact that it's mitzvah says the Shabbos man grom. So the Gemara says, why is that? Because we have a Hekesh that equates all of the mitzvahs ayam together. So since the women are obligated to observe the Surim Malach on Shabbos, so therefore they're also obligated to observe the mitzvah says on Shabbos as well. So the same is true regarding it. There's also a mitzvah says, what's the whole issue that the Rabbi Natan raised? Where the women are Mokhim Mishal Shudas Malach HaMishnah. Why not? Because it's a man grom. Be considered a mitzvah says the Shas Makam. So the Ram says, well, we solved that problem already. Why women mukhiv in Kiddush? Because Kol Sheyesh Nam B'Shom Yesh Nam Zoch. It's a Hekesh. So the Hekesh is Koylel, all of the Chayvus Hayam together. So it's Machlek is the Ram and the Rabbi Natan. So Rabbi Shlomo Kluger says, so the women hold like the other sheep. That's what Rabbi Yosef says. What other sheep? He says, they both said the same thing. They just gave an argument, what's the reason why? They both said, bottom line, they said the same thing. The Ran and Rabbi Natan, they both said that women are just as mukhiv in men to have shalosh shudas and lachmish. The Ran gave one reason and he didn't like the Rabbi Natan's reason. Rabbi Natan gave a reason, didn't like the Ran's reason. But bottom line, they both said the same thing. So how do you do this trick over here? It's like he pulls the wool over our eyes. That's Shlomo Kluger. He says, the women didn't hold as much. Like Zerishayim, so since they don't hold like this and hold like that, so it's like the Megonish. How can it be Megonish? But they both said the same thing. It's not right. The women are just as mukhiv as the men. He says shalosh shudas and lachmish. Shlomo Levilna has a pilpul in his paper. He says he asked his Rebbe when he was a little boy before Bar Mitzvah, and the Rebbe never gave him a satisfactory answer. When you have Shabbos next to Yom Tov, the Mon didn't come down neither on Shabbos nor on Yom Tov. So both on their faces and bases, that base and base points out from the Gemara Mukhok like that. Mon came down neither on Shabbos nor on Yom Tov. So when you had Yom Tov Hastomach LeShabbos, so there was a triple portion of Mon. So when we have Yom Tov Hastomach LeShabbos, why don't we insist on staying Hamotzi on triple header? Why don't we insist on three chalas? And you have Shabbos Suyant Vasmuchim Zalazer, you should insist on having Hamoitzi on three chalas. No. It's not just, I was never so inspired about this question. So Zechel Amon, if you have a Lechem Mishnah, so you'll remember the story about the month. Just take one roll and you say Hamoitzi. That's what you do every day of the year. Take a loaf of bread and you say Hamoitzi. Shabbos, you make a hecker. Shabbos, you make a hecker. It doesn't mean you have to make the exact hecker. You have to have a triple chalas.
I'm not familiar that some place only by women. Never heard that. No, I don't know. Tyson quotes that the Rabbi Natan's opinion is that one can be Yetzi Shalashudis with Mini Tagima. You don't have to have pass. So the Gemara says that the reason why one has to repeat the Birchas Hamazon is if he gets to say Ritzay is because he was obligated to have pass. And when he is obligated to have pass, he has to say Birchas Hamazon, and the Birchas Hamazon is supposed to say Ritzay. But if you hold that the Yetzi Shalashudis with Mini Tagim, you don't need pass, and then a Mele. If you wanted to, you could have said Barnabashas at the end, in which case he wouldn't mention Shabbos at all. So even if you happen to eat bread for Shalashudis, then you should say Ritzay, but if you forget, you can't tell me how to measure over again. It's the same as Rosh Chodesh, same as Kalamari. He boy loy off, if he wants to, he didn't have to have pas. He has to eat on Rosh Chodesh and Kalamari. It's not a lot of fare. But you didn't have to eat bread. So since you didn't have to eat bread, so you can't say that that the yal of the other's market. So Rosh Chodesh is also. Even though you had to eat something, but you could have eaten something which wouldn't require even Al Amich. You could have eaten something that would be sufficient to burn a kosher. In which case, you wouldn't say Ritzay. Even if you ate bread, that's how tasty stuff. That's what Tosis says there. What's Taka the Hezman? Why should the Rabbi Tam say that the first two students have to be Dafke Pas? If it's learned out from the same Pasik, Hayom, 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 three times, how does he know that the third Hayom is weaker than the first two Hayoms, that the third Hayom is sufficient with Mini Tagima? And the first two Hayoms have to be Dafke Pas. The Rabbi Soloveitchik used to explain this to Rabbi Tam Shita. He said that there's an obligation. The Gemara says that Tvod Yom Odif Mitvod Lailo. The Gemara says if you have a delicacy that you enjoy B'miyuchot, so you can either serve it Friday night or you can serve it Shabbos morning. So which time should you serve the more delicious food? If you have two.
So the Gemara, the Talmud Bavli says that Kvod Yom Malik from the Kvod Laila, you should serve by Yom. Morgan Avram quotes the Zoya that says Fakir, that Kvod Laila, the Zoya from the Kvod Yom, that you should serve by Laila. Whichever it is, but you see both from the Zoya and from the Gemara, that there are two different Mechayim, there's Mechayim of Kvod Yom and there's Mechayim of Kvod Laila. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought, that one is obligated to have a Suda on Shabbos, Mitam, Kibbut V'Yayne. The Pasuk in Yishai says one is obligated to observe Kibbut V'Yayne on Shabbos and on Yom Tov as well. So that's Mechayim, one to have a Suda. So if you have one Suda the whole Shabbos, that's not sufficient, because it's a separate Mechayim of Kvod Yom and a separate Mechayim of Kvod Laila. So that's Mechayim, one to have a Suda by Yom and a Suda by Laila, each one consisting of Pas. And then the din of Hayom, all the three Hayoms can be satisfied with mini Tagino. Except if you just have mini Tagino Friday night, Shabbos morning, and Shalosh Shudas, you never have passed, then you won't be able to the other mitzvah, Kvod Yom and Kvod Laila. If the Kvod Yom and Kvod Laila, that's Mahab. That's why Yom Tiv, there's no Chiv Shalosh Shudas, according to the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, but there is still, if there's no Chiv Shalosh Shudas, so why you have to have two meals? But say you're not believed to have anything, just have an ash, and the answer is no. That's based on the chiyuv of kvod yom and kvod laila. So the chiyuv of kvod onik, kibud v'yoinik, it doesn't mean really kvod, it means onik. So Vilna Gaon writes in the Hilchos Yom Tov, what is the definition of kibud, what's the definition of onik? So he says kibud refers to all the hachlamas that are done in advance of Shabbos and Yom Tov, preparing everything for Shabbos and Yom Tov. And onik refers to the pleasure that one has by eating the food on Shabbos around Yom Tov Gufa. Let's say Hadlokas HaNeris would be both. Rav Avraham Soloveitchik has and the Beis Halevi has. When you light candles, that's both. The fact that you light the candles in advance of Shabbos or Yom Tov, that's a mitzvah of kavod. The fact that I enjoy having a lit up home, that's a mitzvah of onik. That's why many persons say that it's not proper to practice that many women have, that they don't bench licht on Erev Yom Tov and Vod Yom. They wait till Leil Yom Tov to light the candles. On the second night of Yom Tov, you have to wait till Seisah Kachot. But the first, because you're not permitted to do Malach on the first day for the second day, but on the first night of Yom Tov, so Rabbi Tzala Petterburger has a tshuva for Yitzchak, and others write like that as well, that it's not proper to wait till Laila to bench lit. The proper thing is always to light candles in advance. They bode Yom in order to fulfill the mitzvah of kibud. The fact that you enjoy the neir is doka, because the bias is muor, and the house is all lit up, that's the mitzvah of onik. The fact that you do the preparations in advance, that's mitzvah kibud. Let's say on Yom Tov you're permitted to cook food. But if you can cook the food on Erev Yom Tov, it'll taste just as good. But the proper thing is you should cook the food on Erev Yom Tov. On Erev Shabbos we cook the food not only because on Shabbos we're not permitted to cook the food. Even if, let's say, Amir Lanachri would have been mutter, we would still have a mitzvah to cook all the food on Erev Shabbos. That's a mitzvah kibud. We mechab Shabbos by making all the hachanas in advance. On Yom Tov also, some people who enjoy freshly cooked food much more than food that was cooked and put in the refrigerator and reheated, okay, so if there's such mufunokim, so they're permitted to cook the food on Yom Tov. That's the din of the Torah, the Rechon Nefesh is mutter. But as far as most people are concerned, many people are concerned, that it really does make a difference to them whether the food was just freshly cooked or the food was cooked on Erev Yom Tov, then the proper thing is to cook the food on Erev Yom Tov, mitam kibud. You should make all the hachonis in advance, like the hadlokas on there. So when we say that there's a chiv of kvod yom and a chiv of kvod laila, it's really love doctor, we really mean there's onik yom and onik laila. So on Yom Tov we paskin, there's no shalosh shudas, and the Shulchan Aruch says we paskin against the Rama. There's no shalosh shudas, but you do need the first two sudas, one by yom and one by laila. Why is that? Manashach, if you don't hold from the hayom, so when you get the first two sudas, and the answer is no, the first two sudas are based on the other din of kvod yom and kvod laila. It means onik. There's a separate machiv onik by yom and a separate chiyuv of onik balad. So that's the explanation for the Rabbi Natam as well, why the Shalosh Shudas is sufficient with many tagim on the first two sudas not, because they're really two different mechayvim. Mitam the pasuk of the three times hayom, they would have all been sufficient with the mini tagim. But it's only because of the separate chiyuv of kvod yom kvod la, means oinik, oinik yom and oinik la, that's mechayvim the two sudas. The Gemara in the end of the first parak in Erev and comments on the pasuk Shvui Ishtachta Val Yeti Yishman Koma by Yom HaShvi, that this pasuk is telling us the din of Tchum Shabbos. The Gemara just has a machloikes whether that's the Pshuta Shal Mikro Shvui Ishtachta Val Yeti Yishman Koma by Yom HaShvi, that's the Pshuta that is telling me the din of Tchumin, or no, the Pshuta Shal Mikro is really telling me Al Yeti Yishman Koma the Kale of the Yodo. He's not allowed to walk out to collect mon carrying a pot, because at the Nisu Haitzor there was no Erev there. It was the Rishus Aram Leraisa, so there was no Erev. They're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, and the Pshut Rishon Nik is really referring to Haitzor. And as an additional level of interpretation, we say that the Pasuk also is referring to Tchum Shabbos. We pass him like neither. We pass him Tchum is only the Rabbanah. The
the Rambam passed, and Shulchan Aruch is only the Rabban. But the Mechaber quotes the Rif and the Rambam that the Choshesh for the Yerushalmi. Shalmi says that we treated as if Kumin of Yud Beis Mil, maybe they're right. Kumin of 1 mil, a five mam is 1 mil. The Kumin of 1 mil, that's a machlokes nimara. The Kiva holds that's their Isa. The Chachamim disagree. Kumin of Yud Beis Mil, the Talmud Bavli never says a word. The difference between 1 mil, Yud Beis Mil, never says a word. But the Rif at the end of the first paragraph in Erevin, on the Gemara, as well as the Rambam, they quote that passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Yud Beis Mil may possibly be their Isa. So the Mechaber is choshish for that. And the Ramah is not. So whichever Tchumen you're talking about, whether you're talking about Alpai Mam Aliba the Rebbe Akiva, you're talking about Yud Beis Mil, according to the Rif and the Ramam and the Pesach of the Mechaber, so the Gemara has these two opinions. How does it read in the Pasuk? Is this the Pshutu Shal Mikra? Pshutu Shal Mikra is referring to Tchumen? Oh no, the Pshutu Shal Mikra is referring to Haitzor. Al Yeti Yishmim Kama the Kale of the Yodav, that's how Rashi writes on Chumash. And it's only an additional level of interpretation that it should be referring to the din of tchumen. What's the nafkamina halacha l'maisa? Whether that's the pshutu shal mikra or not? So it's the nafkamina for malchus. You only give malchus if that's the pshutu shal mikra. If the pshutu shal mikra is that it's referring to haitzor, that's how Tosis reads the gemara. Gemara is a little unclear. The Tosis says that's what it means. And this gemara in the end of the first parak in Erev. If the pshutu shal mikra is referring to haitzor, just that the Torah Shemalte gives an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk that it's also alluding to Tchum Shabbos, that whatever is also included is what we call a Lav Shebechlovis. A Lav Shebechlovis is Zayn Blanky Molos, but it didn't be any Molos. Then Moshe Rabbeinu says, Zeh HaDavar Shatziva Hashem. Sounds like a din l'der, Zeh HaDavar. Shatziva Hashem. Aloha Omer Memenu L'mishmeris L'derisechem Man Yiras Alechem Asher Hachalti Eschem Bamidbor V'osi Eschem L'yeres Mitzvah. The Rambam does not count it in the Minyan HaMitzvah. The Rambam does not count it in Minyan HaMitzvahs. So the Rambam understands that this was only HaRashah. They should put it away, L'mishmeres and Zereshtef. The putting it away was the Kiyum HaMitzvah. The fact that in all the future generations they had to maintain this Tzenet Amon, that no one should throw it out in the garbage or they shouldn't eat it up, that was not Mitzvah Zereshtef. The Mitzvah had already been fulfilled. That was an order that their Mitzvah should not be undone. Because the mitzvah was that they should put it away. They should take a maloha omer mimenu. They should put it away the mishmeres l'derisechem. So if anybody in a later generation would eat it or throw it out in the garbage, this would not that they would be in violation of their mitzvah. They would cause that their great great grandparents in the Dorosh of Moshe Rabbeinu were not fulfilling their mitzvah. Their mitzvah was that it should be the mishmeres l'derisechem. That's how they say Pshat, that's how they quote B'Shem Rav Chaim. That's why the Rambam held that this was a Hayroa Shom. Yeah, the question is, what do you do with Zeh HaDavar and HaShatziva Hashem? HaDavar assumes, whenever it says HaShatziva Hashem, HaDavar and others assume, whenever it says HaShatziva Hashem, it's referring to a Din L'Daris. And if Zusha Slavi writes, whenever it says Zeh HaDavar, that's only referring to a Din L'Daris. If it would only be a Hayroa Shom, it would have said Koyamar Hashem. So it has the both expressions, Zeh HaDavar, then it says HaShatziva Hashem, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Lamed Beis. So that's the problem. What do you do with this one? Then it's Medarasechem. It says Medarasechem, so the Rambam says it's only HaRasha. It's not a Din Medaris. How can he take a Pasuk that says Mefurish that it's a Din Medaris? And he Shetel Zarayim. That the obligation was to put it away. To put it away in such a way that it will be lasting forever. So we in the later generations have an obligation to see to it that we shouldn't undo the mitzvah that was done 3,000 years ago. But it's not that we're doing any mitzvah now, we're just protecting their mitzvah from being undone. Then it says, Kashat Tziva Hashem is Moshe, he did it. It says Kashat Tziva has all the technical terms that imply that it's a real deal with that. Medrash comments on the city Rafidim that we looked through the whole Tanakh. We don't have a city that's called Rafidim. Yov Amar by Elohim and Yisrael the Rafidim. So they say Rafidim is not a name of a place. It's not a proper noun. Rafidim means by Elohim and Yisrael because of Rafidim, because Nifnei Sherafi Yudem and Divrei Torah. And the Chachamim have the opinion that all milchamis in the world are because of Bittul Torah, not only milchamis amalek. That's what they write in all of the anti-Semitic literature, that all the wars in the world are caused by the Jews. That's what the Heilige Chazal said. All the wars, even the Vietnamese war, even all the wars that have nothing to do, far away. The Rebbeinu Shlomo makes a war to warn us that we should be Eisik Mechavta Shel Torah. He warns us if we're not Eisik Mechavta Shel Torah, that's what's going to happen to us. If we don't take the hint, then he causes the war to come a little closer. If we still don't take the hint, then he causes us to get involved in the war. But that was the tradition. The Nesiv has a long arichas on this in one of the Hakdomis. There's a commentary on the Shultas where he quotes many, many Maamarei Chazal like that. That all the wars in the world, even between two non-Jewish nations where the Jews are absolutely not involved at all, it's all because of our Bittul Torah. And it's all based on this pasuk and similar pasuk in Berufidim. Berufidim is taken not as the name of the city, but rather as a description of the cause of the war. The way to win the war, the pasuk says, is by holding your hands up. That's what the Mishnah says. How can it be the Chiyad of Shemal Shosis Mohammed? Shovis Mohammed. Doesn't make any sense. Therefore, there's Man Shemistak and Slappy Maila. If they're Mispala to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then they win. The Iker is you have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, you have to. Moshe Rabbeinu tells you, Yeshua ben Nun, you should put together an army. Chalo an Anashim say, Lohan Ba'amolek. He doesn't just daven. He puts together an army. But in addition to the army, he's mispalva, Yad Vanmuna, Adboy Hashemesh, he's mispalva also. And the Mishnah tells us that that's the pshat. The ikir of the Hatzloch in the war was because of the Kaya Hatzilah. If you just have an army without the Tzilah, or without the Amuna, but Yad Vanmuna, Amuna means the Tzilah Amuna, Rashi says. The Tzilah Shela, the Tzilah Ne'amona Unechona. Just have the army without the war, then you will not necessarily win the war. Tomorrow morning, 9:30, is the prina.